You know, I've been reading a book for the last about month by this Spanish lady from hundreds of years ago that talks about how to grow as a follower of Jesus. It's the whole point of the book is she kind of breaks it down into these seven different stages of growing. And one of the things that she says over and over again is that there is almost no difference between what it means to grow as a follower of Jesus and what it means to grow in your life of prayer. How you grow in your prayer life is determinative of how you grow as a follower of Jesus. And so we are going to spend the next 5 weeks focusing in on what it means to be a person of prayer. We're going to talk about developing a habit of prayer. We're going to talk about what it means to pray all the time. We're going to talk about how to intercede for people who need God to radically and profoundly change their lives. I am really excited because I believe that if we can grab hold of what God wants to do in prayer, we are going to see our communities profoundly transformed. We're going to see our own lives transformed. And so many of us, we're in, I don't know if you ever have this moment, but I feel like I always feel like a newbie when it comes to prayer because, you know, I will pray and pray and pray about something and then my prayer gets answered and I think, huh, I didn't see that coming. Clearly there's a problem there. And so we're going to be growing our faith over this next 5 weeks as well. So that's a little bit where we're going. We have a couple of our small group leaders sharing throughout the series, so I'm really grateful and I'm excited to hear their points of view on prayer. So I'm deeply looking forward to that. If you would help me welcome Heather Shipp to launch our series on prayer. Come on up, Heather.
Wow, thanks, guys. Okay, sounds good. I'm bringing him back up at the end, so don't get scared. Thanks, guys, for letting me speak to you tonight. I'm super excited to be up here, and really awesome turnout tonight. I guess the weather did us all good. Anybody super excited about the warm sunshine outside? Right? Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, we are starting a new series tonight, and it's called Unleashed, and Pastor Josh totally spoiled it because I had this big lead-up to tell you what it was all about, but we're going to still do the lead-up anyway. So pretend like you don't know we're talking about prayer tonight, okay? Thanks. All right, so how many of you love coffee or tea? Okay, how many of you got some on your way in? Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad you all can identify with me because I love coffee. I probably started drinking it when I was like 3 years old, maybe. So I started really young. It's always been a staple of my household. And it's become like a comforting routine in my life. And there was one time where I was kind of looking at things, and I was like, you know what? I want to try and, like, give up something that would be really, really hard to give up. And, of course, this is really silly. I should have thought of something else. The only thing I could think of was coffee, all right? So I decided to give up coffee for 40 days, yep. And I was a student at the time, and it was really close to finals. And looking back, it really was a horrible idea. But it taught me a lot about this addiction or this habit that I had in my life of drinking coffee every single day. I remember there were some mornings, my routine was that I would get up out of bed and I would go start hot water to make coffee, like first thing in the morning. There were some mornings, I think for the first week or two, that I was starting this fast, if you want to call it that, that I would get up, walk over to start making hot water, and then finally realize what I was doing, and then walk sadly away because I couldn't actually make coffee. Like, it had become that much of a habit, and of course, the further I got into the 40 days, the more and more that I would think about coffee, because we all know that when we're trying to, like, deprive ourselves of something, that that's seemingly all that we can focus on. And I remember there was one day that I wanted coffee so bad, and on my way to class, I could pass two Starbucks. So I would, like, walk past them just so I could smell coffee. I'm telling you guys, this is, like, a really big addiction in my life. So, but the thing about coffee was that it had become a habit, a central part of my day, and really, like, all this disruption in my life just for a cup of hot brown water, like, seems a little bit ridiculous. But making habits in our lives, for those of us who have tried to quit something, or those of us who have tried to start something new, we realize that making habits is kind of difficult. But it's actually something that's really awesome that God has designed our brains to do. He didn't just give us the ability to make a habit, or another term for a habit is creating an automatic behavior. So our bodies have learned to do lots of automatic behaviors. Imagine if I had to stand up here and give this lesson and remind myself to breathe every 5 seconds, right? Breathing is a habit. A lot of the things that we do without thinking are habits that allow our minds to do something else. But why am I talking about habits and forming habits? It's because God has intentionally formed our brains these ways, and these can be good things. So we're in this lesson called Unleashed, which is going to be talking about all the ways that we can see God move in our lives, and we can release his power not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people around us. And a central way to start this is by making our relationship with God one of our most foundational habits. And the best possible way to do this, I believe, is through prayer. So if you think about any of your relationships, think about your best friend, right? What do you have to do to keep that relationship going? You have to talk to them, right? Like, you can't just ignore them all the time. You probably hang out with them because you enjoy their company. All of these things. And I think sometimes what we really forget is that God also is described in the Bible as a person, right? You connect with him just like you do anyone else. He is your friend. He wants to know what's going on in your life. He wants you to talk to him, and he wants to understand the things that are happening in your day-to-day. And so it's really important for us to be able to share that with him each day. But for some reason, we find it really difficult to make God and talking to God an actual habit, right? I mean, he's not a physical person in front of us. So I don't know if you guys are like me, but a lot of times I can just simply forget and go throughout my whole day and realize, oh, I haven't really brought God into anything that I've been doing today. And it's because he's not physically there, but how we learn to do anything is by starting to make it a habit. So prayer is a perfect example of how we can begin our relationships with God. I don't know if you guys know a lot of people who pray all the time, but I've had the blessing of knowing a couple people who pray a lot. These people are like 80, 90 years old. They don't do a whole lot with their day, but like go out in the morning and get coffee and hang out with some friends. But these people pray like 3 or 4 hours a day. I don't know about how many of you guys, but thinking about praying sometimes for like 5 minutes seems like a little bit of a struggle. But the crazy thing is these people did not just get there overnight. Pastor Josh has talked to us countless times about creating goals for ourselves that are actually reasonable for us. So you can't just start with like saying, all right, well, that person's praying for 2 hours. I think I'm going to try that one day. You're not going to get anywhere. And God knew that this was going to be a struggle for us, and he knew that it was going to be hard for us to be able to make him the central part of our lives. So what did he do? He gave us great examples of real people who made prayer a habit, and we can use their examples to show us how to move forward in making prayer our habits in everyday life. So the person we're going to look at today, is his name is Daniel, and I'm sure that many of you guys have heard about Daniel before. What's the most famous story that we all know about Daniel? Good job. Yes, of course. The lion's den. But do you know not only how Daniel got out of the lion's den, but actually what put him in the lion's den in the first place? Yeah, prayer. Prayer got him out, but prayer also got him there. So we're going to look tonight at how he was able to be so convicted in his prayer life and what he used to form those good habits to be able to build his relationship with God. So we're going to be in Daniel 6 tonight. If you have your Bibles or the Bible app on your phone, go ahead and pull that out. It's going to be Daniel 6. And before we jump in, and we're going to jump in verse 3, just a little bit of background of what's going on here. A lot of people don't know where the story of Daniel and the lion's den fits in Daniel's life. But it says in the chapter before this that Daniel by this time had probably been serving in the kingdom that he was working in for probably about 70 years. When he was a young man, he was kidnapped from his country and forced into slavery, but he moved up in the society that was he was in and ended up gaining power and control because God had showed him favor. So by the time Daniel in the lion's den is happening, we're talking about probably a 90-year-old man being thrown into this pit of lions. So he didn't just get there at the beginning of his relationship with God, right? It took him a little while, and we're going to look at those things now. So go ahead and look at we're going to start in verse 3. So the verse says, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officials. So he was working for this king. He was proving that he could do a better job than anyone else in the kingdom at what the king had asked him to do. And this was because of Daniel's great ability. So the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officials began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs because they couldn't find anything to condemn him or criticize him about. He was faithful always, responsible, and completely trustworthy. So these officials concluded, our only chance to find grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So all of these other officials that Daniel worked with were really jealous. He was gaining favor with the king, and the king was going to promote him to second position in the whole kingdom, and these guys wanted also to have that favored position. And so they wanted to do whatever it took to get rid of Daniel so that they could potentially be moved up. So what ends up happening is these guys end up talking to the king, and they get the king to pass a law that for 30 days, nobody can pray to anyone else except for the king. Daniel learns about this law, and in verse 10, we see his immediate response after learning about it. And it says in verse 10, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So immediately after Daniel finds out about this law that he knows is punishable by pretty much death, I mean, being thrown in a lion's den, I don't know how many of us would expect to survive that. But Daniel learns about this. He not only goes home and prays, but he goes home, opens his windows, and prays like he normally does. And these guys know exactly what he's doing, exactly where to find him. And so, of course, they show up, see what he's doing, go tattle on him to the king, and he gets thrown in the lion's den. But obviously, the story has a happy ending. That's one of the reasons that makes it so famous is because God came through for Daniel and delivered him from the lion's den. I think this passage shows us 3 key things and 3 key ways that we can start building prayer into a habit for our own lives. And those 3 things are that Daniel, in order to build his relationship with God and in order to be able to spend time with God, he identified a place that he could spend time with God. He made space for his time with God, and he had faith. So if we look back at verse 10, and that's really going to be where the bulk of this is going to come from if you want to pull that up or open your Bible up to it. So Daniel 6, verse 10, the first thing that it says that Daniel did is that he went home, knelt down in his upstairs room, and opened his windows towards Jerusalem. Daniel, over the course of his lifetime in this community that he was living in, had established a specific place that allowed him to spend time with God. And for Daniel, it wasn't just any place, right? He had picked a specific spot free from distractions. So if you think about, he picked this upper room, this place that was a little bit separate from the rest of the house, which is really crucial when we're looking to develop a prayer habit in our own lives, that we create a specific place that's going to allow us to actually spend time with God and be able to concentrate on our time with God. But he didn't only just have a place. The verse also says that he was kneeling down. So I'm not saying that you have to kneel down when you pray, but Daniel picked a specific posture that would help him focus on God. I mean, I don't know how many of you have done this before, but thinking about my own time that I've tried to spend with God, the whole idea of praying before bed. Where are you normally? Exactly. Does that go well for anyone else? Yeah, exactly. We are just winding down our night, and we're like, oh, we're going to now talk to God about all of the things of the day as I'm laying on my nice, soft pillow. No, that's not going to happen. So Daniel didn't pick laying on his bed in his upper room as his posture to be able to focus on God. He also, however, was not sitting on his couch in front of the TV either. He picked a specific spot that was out of the way and a specific posture that allowed him to focus on who he was talking to. And the other key thing here is when the verse says that Daniel opened his windows up towards Jerusalem. So I don't know how much you know about the Jewish people in Daniel's day. So Daniel was a Jewish man, and he was from this country called Israel. And there was this city in Israel called Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, there was this beautiful temple. And that temple to the Israelites and the Jewish people represented God's presence. So when Daniel opened up those windows, he wasn't just trying to get a breath of fresh air while he was praying. He was actually giving himself a visual cue of who he was focusing on, because those windows were pointing towards Jerusalem, and that reminded him of his relationship with God. So that can be lots of things for us. It can be as simple as going out in nature, if you're a nature person, and that's what reminds you about God. It can be you having your Bible sitting next to you, if that's a visual cue for you to remember who you're talking about. There are lots of things that we can do to intentionally set up our atmosphere. You can play worship music in the background if that's something that you like. Anything that helps that space become something that is a sacred space that can help you form a habit that when you go to that spot, you know what you're doing. So that was the first thing. Daniel established a specific place that he had his time with God. But that wasn't all. Daniel also chose a specific space. So Daniel had a lot of things going on in life, right? He was one of the highest rulers in this kingdom. And this just wasn't like a little kingdom at the time. It was probably one of the ruling superpowers of the whole ancient world during this time in his life. So I'm sure that he had quite a few things to do. But did you guys notice how many times a day he made space in his day to pray? 3 times. I don't think that I can claim that my life is quite as busy as a ruler of a kingdom in the ancient world, but 3 times a day seems like an insurmountable amount to be able to like carve out when I look at my schedule. But Daniel did it. He made a commitment that his time with God was so important and so valuable that he was going to do whatever it took to make space in his schedule for that. And that's where we need to start. It doesn't have to be with three times a day. 5 minutes, 1 minute, if that's better than what you're doing right now. Whatever it is, carving out a specific time in your specific place is going to help you form that habit of prayer. But Daniel didn't just need space in his schedule. He needed space from other people, right? Like, as the verse talked about, it said that all of these officials knew exactly where Daniel was and what he was doing at that specific time. So that means that this prayer activity of Daniel's and this time talking to God was pretty public, right? He had told people what he was doing and when he was doing it. And honestly, if you want to get anything done, how many times do you have to tell certain people to stop bothering you, right? Isn't it a little bit better to go to them ahead of time and be like, hey, listen, this time in my day is for a specific thing, and I need you not to bother me. Creating those boundaries in our lives, as Daniel shows us, are super important in order to actually create the space to be able to spend time talking with God. But this kind of space from people has a second angle on it too, because it's not just getting rid of all of the people, all of the time, and never praying with other people. What we find out in a little bit earlier in Daniel is that he was not only creating this space away from people who were going to hinder his relationship with God, he was also creating this space so that other people who were looking to invest in their relationship with God could join him. So there's another story in Daniel 2, and you can look at it if you want to, but we're not going to necessarily read anything from it. So Daniel 2 gives us this story earlier in Daniel's life, like decades before. And we learn in this story that it was just as Daniel was kind of being established in this kingdom, getting a little bit of power, getting to make decisions and getting a little bit well known. And during this time, the previous king that he had been working for had a dream. And the king was terrified of this dream. So he asked all the wise men in his kingdom to interpret it. But, of course, they couldn't. And so the king was like, oh, fine, well, we'll just kill you all. So he decides that all the wise men in the kingdom are going to be killed. And at this time, Daniel was one of those wise men. So when Daniel heard about this, he goes to the king and asks him for more time. And then Daniel had three other friends that were also intentionally pursuing a relationship with God. And Daniel's immediate response is to go to them, share what's going on, and ask them to pray with him about this situation. And God ends up giving Daniel the answer to this vision, and he's able to tell the king and save all of these people's lives. So Daniel had learned early on in life that inviting other people into his prayer life was crucial to helping him stay the course in his own relationship with God, but also in spending meaningful time with God. So creating space for people also becomes key. So thinking about this in our actual lives and how that integrating, making space for others will actually play. So if we think about the time that we get to ask others or invite people into our lives and pray with things, it can be a little scary sometimes because we have to be vulnerable. We have to ask people to be able to share. We have to be able to share things about our lives with other people that may be a little bit personal. But it actually is a great thing, especially if you're just starting to begin this journey with God and beginning this journey starting with God. It's a great way to learn how other people pray. So if you don't feel comfortable praying, but you ask someone else to pray with you, it gives you an opportunity to learn and understand how they talk to God. And that example can be really helpful in our own lives. It also can be an awesome point of accountability, however, which is really crucial as we move forward in our relationship with God. For a lot of us, if you're anything like me, sometimes you'll have a prayer request and you're like, yeah, I'm going to talk to God about this one issue in my life, and then you go to sleep and tomorrow happens and you've totally forgotten that that was even your goal. And the beautiful thing about inviting a community of other people who are pursuing a relationship with God into those specific moments and asking them to pray with you is that if you forget or if you're discouraged, if God hasn't answered your prayer in the way that you thought he would, and you're discouraged by that, the people who you invite to pray with you can not only be there to remind you, but they can also be there to encourage you, which is really important. So creating this space in your life is another key factor when creating a prayer habit to be able to spend meaningful time with God. So the last part of this, and one of the things that we learn again from Daniel in chapter 6, verse 10, is that his habit of prayer was completely held together by this idea that he believed God could do anything, right? I don't know how many of us would think to necessarily ask God for things that we would never think that he would be able to do, right? Daniel had previous experiences in his life where he asked for very small things, and God had answered those requests and proven himself faithful. And so over a lifetime, that got Daniel to the place where he could ask God to deliver him from lions, and he knew he would do it without any problem. So I was reading something to get prepared for this sermon, and I was reading about habits and how we form habits. And this one article that I was reading said something really interesting. And it talked about if you want to form a new habit in your life, one of the key aspects to that is this idea of what they call belief, okay? So they used an example of addiction recovery programs like AA or NA. And they said that why those programs are so effective is not simply because there's like some scientific method behind the step work, but honestly, one of the reasons why it's most effective is because when you get someone in the room who has suffered this horrible addiction, and they're around with a community of other people who have gone through the same thing, they start seeing these examples of people in the room who've been able to overcome this huge mountain in their life. And so that example fosters belief in that person to be able to say, well, hey, maybe I can do this too. And it's the same thing in our relationship with God. God understands that sometimes it's really hard to trust him if we've never had any experience in our life that we feel like proves that he's a good God and is going to be faithful to us. He asks us to start with the little things. Earlier in Daniel's life, in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel, one of his first prayers that we see him lifting up to God is that God would just let him be committed to eating the kind of food that God asked him to. I don't know if you guys were here this past January, but we did something called the Daniel Fast that's inspired from Daniel chapter 1. And basically, in that chapter, Daniel is eating food that was offered to idols, which God said that you shouldn't do. And so Daniel is simply asking God, hey God, can you give me the commitment in my heart to be able to follow what you're asking me to do? And God provides a way for him to have something else to eat. Like, that's a pretty simple request. But requests compounded on his entire lifetime get him to this point to where we see him in our story that we talked about in Daniel and the Lion's Den, which is this awesome prayer warrior who has developed this whole habit of prayer that allows him to ask God for anything and everything. So again, when we're thinking about developing a habit of prayer in our lives, developing a space where we can talk to God, you have three key things that we're going to talk about later in our groups tonight, which are going to be creating a place, creating space, and having faith that God can do the impossible. So thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you listening to me, and I will have Pastor Josh come up.
You know, I wanted to begin this series on this idea of habit for a reason. Because what helps you become a solid and mature follower of Jesus is not having lots of random awesome moments, and it's not getting like wildly excited about stuff and getting loud or whatever. It is developing solid, consistent, healthy, stable habits. That is what will take any person from wherever you are to being a person of maturity in their spiritual journey. And the thing I love about that is that I can't make myself have some amazing spiritual experience. I can't force that. But every single one of us can devote ourselves to the work it takes to develop healthy, solid habits. That's a thing we can all partner with Jesus to do in our lives. And so